Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another Read the Word. Read the Word. We are reading the Word tonight, and like we would normally do, but tonight we got a bunch of it. And Jesus is going to pronounce the woes against the Pharisees, and he did that because he loves us. And he was warning everybody, these guys are going to lead you astray, do not follow after them. And tonight, you and I are going to hear a list of things that Jesus is going to say. Watch out because of this, because of this, because of this, because of this, and because of this. And you and I can look at the day that we live in right now and say, help me, Jesus, to see all that and then not have anything, any part of it in my life. When you think about what Jesus did for you and I, it's not that he was the truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. He is the life. And he is the way. And so he came and was the Word made flesh, dwelling among us. And then everything he spoke was life. And when you and I speak it and live by it, remember he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Well, this word, the word of God, is his flesh. And if you don't have a daily diet of his flesh, then you'll be a malnourished Christian. So make sure you're spending time with him and eating the word of God every day. Bless your sister Sunday. It's so good to see you. We just want you to know that we love you. Here we go. Let's pray the opening prayer, or our opening confession tonight. Ready? Say it with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what God says I am.
I am what God says I am.
I go do what he tells me to do.
I go do what he tells me.
Today I will be taught the Word of God. And the word is changing my life.
And the word is changing.
Because that's what it's designed to do.
That's what it's designed to do.
I receive it as a seed.
I receive it as a seed.
That is producing 100-fold and more.
That is producing 100-fold and
in my
more.
Life.
In my life.
In Jesus' mighty
name.
Amen. Oh, I forgot the part, no matter what people say. Wow. Here we go. Matthew chapter 23. Woe to the scribes and the Pharisees. Wow. It's fixing to get real bad for these people that have tested him and tried him. Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples. Now they were there. The Pharisees were there. But Jesus right now is speaking to the multitude and to his disciples. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to the works that they do, for they say and do not do. They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. All their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries large and broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. I got to circle something here. They love the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and they love to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Now, there's nothing wrong with being greeted in the market, nothing wrong with having a good seat at the feast. When you do it to seek it, now your heart's wrong. Do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he was in heaven. Do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against man, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. That is a very severe warning. Mm-hmm. That's severe. Do not stand in somebody's way. You know, Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is a man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly. No, who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Well, that means don't go stand with them, but don't stand in their way to get to the kingdom either. Don't be one standing in the way. That's what Jesus said. 14, woe to you, scribes, you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses for a pretense, long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you yourself.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. It didn't say by the building. It said by him who dwells in it. And you probably oughtn't be swearing about the temple anyways. And the mighty name of Jesus. Now, 22. He who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe in mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These ought you to have done without leaving the others done. Blind guides who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortions and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Wow. This is a serious teaching right here. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, verse 29, hypocrites, because you build the temple of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's blood. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? It seems if you were a scribe or a Pharisee at that point, you would turn and run.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth. For the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Surely I say to you, these things will come upon this generation. My. 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted you to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Serious indictment.
Mm-hmm.
See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Luke 21. Is that right? All my notes in the wrong spot. Luke 20. Luke chapter 20. Jesus' authority question. We read this one yesterday too. But here it is from Brother Luke. It happened on those days as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel that the chief priest and the scribes together with the elders confronted him and spoke to him saying, tell us why, what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority? But he answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, and you answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us. I think that's the only time the Bible says all the people will stone them. For they are persuaded that John was a prophet. So that stoning situation was a pretty good weapon on either person's hand. So they answered that they did not know where it was. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. The parable of the vine dressers. Verse 9, he began to tell the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and leased it to the vine dressers, went into a far country for a long time. Now at a vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Y'all fixing to get yourself messed up. Again, he sent another servant, and they beat him. They treated him shamefully, sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent a third, and they wounded him and cast him out. And the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him." When the vine dresser saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours." So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. And when they heard this, they said, "Certainly not." Then he looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written?" I'm on the wrong page. Nope, not. "The stone which the builders rejected, he became the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on the stone will be broken. But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." What's the answer? Fall on the stone yourself. You fall down. Don't say, "God, humble me." God will humble you, but usually it turns out to be humiliation. God never said, "Let me humble you." God said, "You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God." 19, "And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people, for they knew he had spoken this parable against them." I like that statement, "but they feared the people." Isn't that something? I don't know why I never saw that before. You know?
I don't.
The Pharisees, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar?" Verse 20. "They watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous that they might seize him on his words in order to deliver him to the power and authority of the governor. They asked him and said, 'Teacher, we know you say and teach rightly, and you do not show personal favoritism, but you teach God in the truth.'" If you've never heard people talk like that, this is the truth. I have literally heard people talk like that. Feigning to be righteous. And you know the word that came to me when they did it on the inside? "You pompous windbag."
Yes, 23.
"But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, 'Why do you test me? Show me a denarius whose image and inscription does it have?' They said, 'Caesar's.' And he said, 'Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' They could not catch him in his words in the presence of the people, and they marveled at his answer and kept silent." The Sadducees, what about the resurrection? I love this part of the Jesus life. Some of the Sadducees who deny that there's a resurrection came to him and asked him, saying, "You smoked the Pharisees, but I got a good question for you." Saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if man's brother dies having a wife and he dies without children, his brother should take his wife and raise up the offspring for his brother. Now there were 7 brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children. The second took a wife and he died childless. The third took her in like manner, the 7 also. And they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died. You'd have thought the men would have caught on, 'I am marrying you because every man that marries you dies.'
Yeah.
33, therefore in the resurrection, whose wife did she become? For all seven had her as wife. Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. To attain that age, interesting. Nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. I just added some severe verses to my end time understanding. Even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised. When he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For all live to him. Some of the scribes answered and said, teacher, you've spoken well. But after that, they dared not question him anymore, because they knew they were about to be fried in their britches. All right. Now, Jesus, how can David call his descendants Lord? All right. Verse 41. He said to them, how can they say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself said in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, David calls him Lord. How is he then his son? That's a good question. And then Jesus warns about the scribes. Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplace, the best seats in the synagogue, and the best places in the feast, who devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. And you've got a list right there. One, they desire to go around in long robes. Two, they love greetings in the marketplace. Three, the best seats in the synagogue. Four, the best seats in the feast. Five, they devour the widows' houses. And six, for pretense make long prayers. Six things do not do. Chapter 21. The widow's mite. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance put in offerings to God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. And remember, Jesus said, when you give, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, Jesus is going to tell you some end times. Verse number 5. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned, how beautiful the stones and donations, he said, the things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Wow. Interesting. So they ask him, saying, teacher, but well, when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? He said, take heed that you do not be deceived. That is literally why Jesus gave us all those warnings about the deceivers, the religious haters. That's why he said, woe to them. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is drawn near. Therefore, do not go out after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Well, we're already there right now. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Like 50 earthquakes a day happen on this earth.
Wow.
50. 13. It will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you answer. 15. I will give you a mouth and wisdom. How do you like that? Some people have a mouth, but they don't have no wisdom.
Amen.
Which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends. And they'll put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. Now, that was some pretty good warnings right there that you and I, it would behoove us severely to heed. The destruction of Jerusalem, verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that desolation is near. And you and I are going to, no, we're not going to see it, but after the tribulation starts, they're going to see it. Then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. Let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant. Woe to those, no, to those who are, I got stuck in the woes. Woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. For there'll be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And that happened in 47 is when they became a nation again. 25. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud of glory with power and great glory. Everybody's going to see it. And they're going to watch us go. And when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your head. For your redemption draws near. Somebody shout, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. My redemption is drawing near. Now, the parable of the fig tree and the warning of the end. Verse 29, he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. So when you see all of that happening, know that it's near. You won't know the day, nor the hour. That's why all of us are saying it is really close. All right? 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The importance of watching. Take heed to yourself. Let your hearts, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. You don't want that. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all those things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Did you see that? That you could be counted not worthy. Get your, what did DC Talk sing? People get ready. Jesus is coming. I messed it up. Go listen to them. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Why the scribes and Pharisees were so jealous of him? Mm-hmm. Because they didn't have anything. Like, they didn't have nothing. They had no power. And like you said, made them all more a child of hell. This is the part where we say circle the wagons. Circle the wagons tonight to me is don't get caught and bound up by these wicked religious leaders that are in our day. They have big buildings. They have big things. It's fancy. It's rich. It's sumptuous. But God gave you a list right there about people. And when that matches the people, call them a Pharisee. Don't listen to them. No, not don't even listen a little to them. And if you hear him speaking perversion out of the one of the perversions of the Bible, that's not a person you want to listen to. You've got to stick with the Word of God. I'm not being nasty about it, but you and I got to get our ear tuned into, wait a minute, there's a voice that speaks for me, and that's the voice I need to go hear. And everybody else's voice that comes in is going to be confusion to you. So when you begin to, if you begin to listen to a minister, here's how you do it. If you begin to listen to a minister and your spirit begins to be troubled, like, what's wrong? Why? I can't connect to this guy. That's the Spirit of God saying, your ear doesn't need to listen to his voice. Don't go back there because it'll be deception to you. And nobody wants to be deceived by a preacher because that's the worst deception that there is. Literally. Literally. I can't do it. Now, I could preach right now for about an hour on that. But let's pray the prayer of salvation. No matter who you are tonight, no matter where you're from, no matter what your background, pray with me tonight. And if you truly mean this from the depths of your heart, when you're finished praying, Jesus will now be living within you. Ready? Pray this. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
If I believe in you.
If I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Make your bold declaration now. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day for me.
And you rose again on the third day for me.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your
all of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and
thank you for your blood, Jesus. Washing me white as snow.
Washing me white as snow.
I receive all the fullness of God in my life.
I receive all of the fullness of God in my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word
pray
of God.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and live a successful life.
And live a successful
as a believer every day.
As a believer,
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Amen. What just happened, Chris? Well, what just happened is you just gave your life to Jesus, and he said, well, all right, then, I'll come in. And God just filled you. When you said come in, he just comes in. He's got the robe of the garment of salvation, and you're born again. You're saved. He puts that garment on. You're made new. And all that sin, all that struggle, all that anguish is just gone. And then he washes you with his blood, and he wraps the robe of sonship of righteousness around you. Goodness. He makes you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are literally the heirs of God, the children of God. And God comes to live right in here inside of you. Now, every day you get to say, I am a believer. You get to say it every day. And I'm walking with my Father. How do I become a Christian, Pastor? You will automatically be a Christ-like one if you say, I'm a believer, and you walk with God every day. Because it'll be automatic. Because God's leading you from inside out. Your spirit man will begin to say, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Stay away from that. Get away from them. Why? Because all that would be trouble to you. It'll lead you from right in here. And you wake up on your bed in the morning. Look up and say, Father, help me walk with you today. And when you do, you'll be with the club. See how dumb that sounds? That God's going to do stuff bad to you? He'll say, let's make this day happen, son. Let's go. And he will empower you all day long. Hit like, hit subscribe, and ring the bell. And stick with us. God brought you here. There's a video for every chapter in the Bible from Genesis to where we are right now. And the link right down here in the description that starts with this Read the Word program in Genesis. And we've read the Word all the way through Matthew 25. And I want you to go listen to it. Start right again in Genesis. There's an amazing amount of discipleship right there in that devotional process. And we want you to be a part of it. In Jesus' name. My email address is there. Anything I can do for you, I am glad to do it. Ask me a question. If you got questions about God nobody's been able to answer, send the questions to me tonight. Tomorrow night on our evening program, right here on YouTube, we're going to do a question and answer session. And it's always a lot of fun. We want you to be there. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. That's all we got. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves
you.
And Jesus is Lord.